we said last week, being single is a gift. There's nothing wrong with it. I had some single people this week say, thank you for sharing that. People act as if you're weird if you're not married. You're not. It is a gift, but also marriage is a gift. And that's the gift that I have. And I'm thankful to the Lord for that. The first step is obviously dating. I have a series of questions in my hand. One of them says, Skip, please address single ministry. Last week we talked about that, singleness. Dating and marriage. Another question is one you've heard. What is wrong with premarital sex with someone you love? Another one asks, what are the chances of success between a believer and a non-believer? In other words, in a marriage. One believes and believes the Bible to be the Word while the other doesn't. One has accepted Jesus as Savior and the other has not. One, the believer, is 50 years old and the other is 54. Another question, is there a sin in a relationship of a black person and white person, providing they go by the laws of God in their relationship? Another question, Skip, what does equally yoked really mean? I'm engaged and would really like to know all the facts about this important issue that I never knew existed. Thank you and God bless you. The questions that I have read and all the questions that I have on my desk show a general desire where people are genuinely interested to know the answers to this from a Christian perspective. I think that they genuinely want biblical answers. However, some have a wrong view of God, as is seen in many of the questions that I've received. This idea that God is the bad guy and He wants to keep them from the fun things in life. And God has an insipid, dull, boring life ahead of you. And if you don't go God's ways, that's where the action, that's where the fun's at. If you go God's ways, Dullsville. When Jesus said, I have come that they might have abundant life. God has, whether you're single or whether you're married, He wants you to live life to the fullest in that position. Now, for you who are married, and you've had to listen to singleness and dating, hang on, your day will come. Because all the single people are going to have to listen to marriage and all the problems of divorce and remarriage. In fact, hopefully, even for the married people here, you can learn how to date your wives and husbands again through this study. Now, I'm going to ask for a show of hands. Don't be afraid, because I'm not going to do this every week. Because some of them would be embarrassing. How many are living in sin? Raise your hand. No, I would never do that. Let me ask you this morning. Could all of the single people raise your hands up, please? Again, we can see. Great. Look at it. That's fabulous. Of all the single people, how many are now dating? Raise your hands. You're presently in a dating relationship. Great. How many are between teenage and, say, college? Raise your hands. In that dating. They were dating. Okay, how many are, say, from college to 30 years of age? Raise your hands who are dating. How many are above 30 dating? Anyone? Wow. I know that's a large area to cover. We won't break it down any more than that. I often get asked the question, Skip, does God have a perfect mate for me out there? My answer is no and yes. No one is perfect. But yes, God, I believe, has someone specifically picked out for you to bring you to complete fulfillment. I don't buy this issue that if you're a Christian, it's just whomever you choose. I think if you're a Christian, then the Scripture says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. It says in Genesis 2, God brought the woman to the man. And I think God intervenes in a person's life, and God will take the initiative and bring the right mate to you. Now, I know someone who has a checklist of all of the qualifications of the superwoman that he wants to marry. This woman, of course, does not exist on the planet Earth. able to leap tall buildings with a single bound, go faster than a speeding bullet, pray 10 hours a day, still fix up the house and look beautiful all the time. And I always ask my friend, even if she does exist, what makes you think she wants to marry you? Do you meet those qualifications? The truth is, God has someone suited for you if you are not married. If God is leading you to that gift, God has someone picked out for you. You can begin praying and preparing now. Even though you haven't met that person, even if you aren't dating, you can prepare by praying so that when you do meet, there will be a beautiful establishing of a relationship in the Lord so that it will work. Now, the first question I want to address is, what about dating anyway? Is it biblical? Of course, there's nothing in the Bible that says, thou shalt not date. Nor is there anything that says, thus saith the Lord, this is how thou shalt date. But I want to draw a distinction between the way it used to be and the way it is in our country. The Jews always had the parents prearrange the relationship. The kids had little, if anything, to do with it. That is, the parents would choose the wife for their son at sometimes 4 years old. They'd say, you know, you have a cute little son and I have a cute little daughter. Why don't we draw up an agreement? And the parents would do it because they felt they could make a better judgment, having grown up and seeing the pros and cons of relationships, that they were better suited to make that kind of a decision. Of course, the kids always disagreed. And there was sometimes conflict. Another reason is that the woman, the young girl, was becoming, in effect, a part of the young man's family. And so his family was genuinely interested in what kind of a gal this was, this new person in their family. Can she work? Is she strong? Can she tend the sheep and plow the fields? Which was common in those days. It was a family consideration. When the negotiations began, the father of the young boy or man would begin negotiations, would find a young woman that he thought was suitable, and the father would choose what was called the friend of the bridegroom. It was a go-between. He would set up the negotiations, set up the dowry money, which was essentially alimony in advance. He would negotiate the deal. The parents would come together. They would decide. Once the decision was made, it was sealed, interestingly enough, over a cup of coffee. Then the betrothal began. When the young man and woman reached the right age, there was a year before the marriage called the year of engagement or betrothal. He would give her a gold ring that says, you are taken, but that is when the dating began, after the engagement. They would date, they would court, they would get to know each other. Once that year of betrothal began, they could not get separated unless there was a legal divorce. So if the young man, after that time, says, I'm not going to marry this thing, he would have to go through legal divorce proceedings. Or if the gal said, you think I'm going to be married to this guy the rest of your life? Forget it. Same thing. Interestingly enough, there are countries today that carry the same procedure. In the Orient, many countries, the parents will decide who marries who. I was fascinated. Of course, I've traveled to India, Thailand, China, the Philippines, and a few others. Especially in India, today, the marriages are prearranged by the parents. When I was over there, I gave them a lot of hassle. I said, no, that's weird, man. That's old-fashioned. Why do you guys do that? He looked at me and he said, don't knock it. Our divorce rate is almost nil. So before you say it doesn't work, consider that our children grow up learning commitment from about 5 years of age onward. They know that this person is going to be with them forever. And they build upon that commitment relationship. Dating, as we know it, is more of an American institution. By a young man and a young gal will get together, decide to hang out, build their relationship until the time they feel it's ready to be married. They're ready to consummate that. It is a big event in American social structure. A kid reaches a point. At first, when you grow up, you don't want to have anything to do with girls or guys. You think, ooh, cooties, right? But then you reach that age of hormone development. And that those kids can't wait to date. It's so important. Dating can be a great time. It can also be a very dangerous, devastating time. One fellow I read who was a counselor for singles for many years said, I can always tell what is the time of year for the prom because I have about 20 to 30 devastated young girls who didn't get asked, whose esteem was because they wanted a date and they didn't get one. Another fellow that I respect, Anthony Campolo, said that he is against dating altogether because it engenders putting on a mask sometimes. You see, we look our best, act our best, smile the best, always have the best, and then the guys get married and they find out what they're really like, and then there's a year of adjustment that's very difficult. Because she wakes up and says, you have horrible breath. I never noticed that before. And he'll say, I never knew you looked really like that underneath all of that. That's what you really look like. And sometimes, because they're so isolated and they put on the best, that hides a lot of what the person's like socially and spiritually. And so there must be more. For a Christian now, dating can be a terrific time of laying a foundation, and that's the way you should look at it. Laying a spiritual foundation. It is a time where you are learning the type of person you want to be with forever. You're saying, do I want to hang out with somebody like this for good? Because once you're married, you are married. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. It should not be taken lightly. It should be dealt with very wisely and very soberly. Think of it this way. The person that you are dating now may or may not be your spouse in the future. But that person will be somebody's spouse. And somebody could be dating your spouse right now. How would you want them treated? Kindly, with reverence, as a special person. It is a time to find out, is this the kind of person I want to be with the rest of my life? So, it is laying a foundation. My point in this section is this. Whether your parents pick them